Good evening and welcome to A Closer Look. Did you know that the Lehigh Valley has more than 800 active and locally focused nonprofits in one of the most concentrated areas in the United States? Well, together we will take a closer look at what they do, who's leading them, and how are they helping our Lehigh Valley community? And more importantly, how can you, our listeners, get involved? My name is Laurie Hackett, and I am lucky enough to be so engaged with many community nonprofits, and I work side by side with them. Together, we have seen how much they do to support our community and move us forward. Tonight, my guest is Danny Roebuck, founder of A Channel of Peace, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to producing and supporting films and projects that promote faith and family. Good evening, Danny, and welcome.
Thank you, sir. I'm so excited to be here with you, Laurie.
Well, thanks. It's, you know, you're a star around the Lehigh Valley, but you also have this great involvement in starting a nonprofit, and we're thrilled about that.
Yeah, I think it's after the experience with Getting Grace, which was such a fabulous experience, making the movie, creating the movie, showing off the Lehigh Valley in the movie. The only thing that didn't coalesce as we had hoped was once it was in other people's hands, it was hard to pay back the people who trusted me with their involvement and money. And I just thought, I can't do that anymore. I'm already bald enough. I lost so much hair. So, you know, we've created the not-for-profit to tell these stories in a way that everybody can be involved in the making of them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you mentioned the trust that the Lehigh Valley has, and Bethlehem in particular. And again, for our listeners who may not know, Danny, of course, is local, grew up in Bethlehem, went to St. Anne's School and Bethlehem Catholic. And so everything that you're doing is really coming back to the community. Is that correct?
I feel very strongly. This was an epiphany I had a couple months ago. Truly, honestly, I think God has blessed me with so much grace and success, and he's given me a modicum of talent so that I could achieve it, because I think his plan all along was to bring me back here and to set my sights on telling godly stories in an entertaining way. It's very important that people know I'm not making Christian movies. I'm making faith-based movies. So some are Christian themed, some might be Jewish themed. I'll find a good Muslim story, I'll tell that. I want to just foment relationships with a higher power and remind people that through those kinds of relationships, challenges can be met and overcome.
And through all of that, through your other work, I know you've been in movies and TV series. We know about a lot of those. The thought of starting this nonprofit, did you think it was the piece that you needed to move things forward?
I think it was. Here's why. Because I had to humble myself to my responsibility to tell the stories and to remove myself for the time being from the profit part of the story. Mm-hmm. I am reliant on the man to cast me like in the Munsters on the new, yeah, I'm the new Grandpa Munster. And that'll be out this year. But I wanted to show people that this is a community effort, and I am part of this community. I've never left it. It's Eden, and you know, it wasn't about coming home. It was just about always being here in my heart and now being able to share it with everybody.
You know, Danny, you talk about our community, and it is very special. And a reason for that is the collaborative spirit that we've seen with so many nonprofits and for-profits, businesses large and small. I know in your other movies, there's been a lot of collaboration. I know you have a lot of different relationships. Could you talk about any collaborations that you have with other nonprofits through this endeavor?
Well, yes. So I would like to talk about what we've done so far with Getting Grace, which was kind of my reconnoitering of how this works. We took Getting Grace, a movie we made for profit, and we used it to raise funds for not-for-profits all over North America. And when I say, I mean North America, America, and Canada, we have raised over $140,000 for other charities through our movie. And that was charities, hospice care, grief counseling. Here in the Lehigh Valley specifically, we gave so much money away to local community theater, mm-hmm. the Pediatric Foundation of the Lehigh Valley, and the Charter School for the Arts. Then that reminds me that that's what we always have to do. We are in partnership with St. Luke's University Health Network, with so many vendors here in the Valley who help us that we couldn't do it without them. I'm, of course, as you know, I'm that guy now that so – now my job is, you know, my joke is I used to be an actor. Now I'm a beggar. So I am moving up in the world. But you know, there is no better community on the planet than this community. Mm-hmm. Lori, I see you at these functions, and Terry Haddad, and I can name all the names and the faces that I see at every function, because this is a giving community. And so what do the not-for-profits offer the community? Well, you know, like we were at the Kay Galgan event. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, what they offer the community to help unwed mothers and move them on their life. That's an extraordinary mission. My mission is different because it's entertainment, but I feel it still has an importance and a value. Not only am I trying to entertain people and bring them to some relationship with a higher power, I'm also showing off, you know, the greatest Lehigh Valley in the world to the world. And my movies they're literally 2-hour commercials where people say, is Bethlehem really that beautiful? In every Q&A, and I say, it absolutely is.
When in the opening scenes of Getting Grace, I'm so proud every time I see that, because such a beautiful kind of flyover of community, and every time it gives me chills. It's wonderful.
And they're right there. There's Verta View is a partner. Ted Rosenberger donates his time, efforts, energy, and talent to do those flyovers for us. Scott Nagy, another local guy, helps us out too. But we're doing our best to show the Lehigh Valley off as best we can. The other thing is, it's not just what it looks like from above. It's how the heart is represented in the movies. And in the movies, the people who live here are portrayed, because we say this is Northampton, and we say this is Bangor, and we say this is Bethlehem. The people are portrayed as people on a journey and community activism and togetherness. So it's not just putting Bethlehem in the movie or the Lehigh Valley. It's like shining a spotlight on how great the people here are.
You know, Danny, in your current career, you know, you're an actor in so many things. Could you talk about what it means to be the head of a nonprofit organization? We've had a lot of executive directors on the show. We know that takes a different set of skills. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, well, I think that, again, God is good. There is no such thing as chaos or coincidence. I was these skills that I have of communication, mm-hmm. of the ability to talk to people and get them excited. That's what the leader of a not-for-profit really has to do. They have to have the fire in their heart. They have to be a zealot for the organization. This started, although I am the founder, my partners in foundership are my wife, Tammy, mm-hmm. who has been beside me from the moment that I said, let's do Getting Grace. And she knew the sacrifice that what meant to our family. Because every time I make a movie, that's 9 months that I can't make a movie for somebody else. She and Aaron McLean, who is a lawyer out of Montana, I was presenting at the Wyoming Funeral Directors Association, showing them Getting Grace. And she said, I love your spirit. I want to work with you. And what do you want? And I said, I want to create a not-for-profit. And she was like the ethical, moral compass for every decision we made. So although I am a good spokesperson, I require, you know, Tammy Roebuck, who mm-hmm. balances everything, and Aaron McLean, who is our oversight for making sure that everything is done by the book, and, you know, our meetings are run properly, et cetera.
Do you have a board of directors?
We have a small board of directors. It's Aaron, myself, Tammy, and Ed Defford, who we met. He is the editor of the Funeral Director magazine. Getting Grace opened so many interesting. Do you know this, Lori? I am perhaps one of the few executive directors in the Lehigh Valley. I actually have my own funeral director's degree. Getting Grace was so well received by funeral directors. I have an honorary funeral director's degree. I walked at the Pittsburgh Institute of Mortuary Science. They gave me my degree. It says embalming and funeral directing. And maybe 7 times they said, you're really not allowed to embalm anybody. So Dimitri Heron, don't worry. I'm not taking any business.
I'm not coming after you, Dimitri. Yeah. Well, it's good to be cross-trained.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's always good to have other skills.
That's right. So with the nonprofit, A Channel of Peace, have you seen any challenges in getting it started?
Well, people don't know how, you know, this has never happened before. No one's ever tried this road before. Certainly there's been churches that have sponsored movies. But, you know, I'm trying to be so much more ecumenical. I really am trying to touch the hearts of everybody, not a limited amount of people. And The other thing is, I have no interest in preaching to the choir. Mm-hmm. I really don't. As a man of faith, nobody has to convince me to believe in God. We got to convince the people who don't believe in God, who've got this country in this turmoil, to, you know, put your faith in something bigger than yourself, politics, whatever. So because I'm not going after one particular aspect of faith, trying to tell people you can have an ecumenical mission that is blind to the personal objectives other than a relationship with God, people have had a hard time getting their head around that. However, we've made Getting Grace, which is a good example, but was not a Channel of Peace movie. When people see the next two movies, they will see in action. And I think that's going to be a huge opportunity for us to convert others to our mission.
Is there an opportunity for volunteer involvement?
1,000%. I invite anybody to follow us on Facebook. I'm on Instagram as Mr. Daniel Roebuck. Easier to follow A Channel of Peace. They could go to achannelofpeace.org. They will see there how we take volunteers, and instead of just taking their time, mm-hmm. we've decided we want to give them something back. So what we give back are interns from colleges, film programs all around Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York. They come, they work with us, and they are given the courtesy of learning how to truly make a movie, not theoretical, and that's all you get in class. You could go study acting for 50 years, but until they put the camera on you and you got to talk about how you killed the girl by the river, you know, that's when you become an actor, when Dennis Hopper is staring at you thinking, you better land this, Roebuck. So we give volunteers a chance. We put volunteers in the movie. The volunteers feed us. They clothe us. They help in every aspect of filmmaking. And sometimes those aspects of filmmaking are gathering the garbage and making sure the garbage goes, picking up our actors at airports, everything like that. So we give great opportunities, and then we invite them to be part of the filmmaking process. And by the way, there's nothing like making a movie. It's like going to join the circus for a few days. You know, you get to, and I know that because I was in a circus, you get to come and be part of this thing and then see it and go, I was there right when they did that.
And the impact you're having on Lehigh Valley students, giving them this experience, seeing, you know, feeling your passion, seeing your inspiration, and giving them career opportunities and experience is really priceless. Have you ever hired anyone, or have you ever met an intern that you've then taken with you or helped into their career?
Oh, yes. Countless times we have gone back to the well and brought people who intern for us. We bring them back and we give them paid salaries. Even from Getting Grace on, Getting Grace, we put six interns. We gave them the jumping off point for careers in Hollywood, in sound, in makeup, right, in lighting. I take great pride in that. Plus, if I could say it, for me to be a movie star, I had to go to California. This isn't a little thing that I come here and I give actors opportunities, and not just the kid actors. There's adult actors who have lead roles in these movies, primarily the kids. That's where our heart, I think all of our hearts are. Maddie Dundon, we pulled literally out of Becca High. We starred her in a movie. She went to college. She came back. I starred her in another movie, because, you know, I know her talent and I write for her. In the new movie, my goodness, we have these. I met a boy, if I could tell you briefly, because you know you're always on the lookout, aren't you, for talent to help your organization. I was at Panera. I met a boy, and I thought, I hadn't written the script yet, but it was all in my brain, and I thought, I need a kid like this in my movie. This kid's got a great personality. And he came and support. I spoke in Moravian. He showed up there with his gang of cohorts.
Did he say, I'm the boy from Panera?
No, I knew. I could see him. His name is Keith Willis. He has a very unique haircut. It looks like Jell-O 1-2-3, if you remember that. But so Keith, I literally wrote a part in the movie for Keith, but hopefully if he hears this, he doesn't come after me. I still made him audition because although I wrote it for his personality, I didn't know that he could really do it. Well, he was terrific. And there he is in the movie. And it's only because he was someone I always look for, that thing that God puts in front of me. You know, when I was on Matlock, sometimes we'd be so rushed. And Andy Griffith would say, Danny, let's just see where Jesus leads me. And then we go and we do the scene as best we could. That's how I see, I was walking through Knoebels Grove And a girl stopped me. She said, "Oh my goodness, are you done with that movie? I wanted to submit a song for your movie." And I'm in Kenobles Grove. I said, "Well, here's my card. Submit your song." Well, the song plays over one of the great montages in the movie. Like, that's how we find people. And if I'm asking for something from you know, the godly universe, and it presents itself, then I'm smart enough to say, "Oh, that's the answer to my prayer." I think that's important for leaders to, you know, have their eye on a prize, but realize the prize can come to you in spits and spurts and drips and drabs, and mm-hmm. you still get to the finish line.
Absolutely. You know, you've reached back and helped others, and I know from doing some reading that Andy Griffith did that with you.
100%. I was on Matlock because he wanted me on mm-hmm. Matlock.
So you understand what it means to have someone in your corner.
Yeah, and to have, you know, that's not just show business.
Right.
That's, you know, Air Products. That's anywhere. To have somebody who's watching out for you and mentoring. Mm-hmm. I mentor actors. I've mentored hundreds of actors for free because there's so many people who steal from actors. Now I'm mentoring filmmakers. I sat down with two filmmakers the other day and I was like, "Ask me any question. I'll tell you the truth about everything," because that way they won't get ripped off by the evil out there that's always looking to take advantage of people with a heart for art.
Mm-hmm. Well, Danny, I can't thank you enough for our time together. You know, from growing up here in the Lehigh Valley, you've gone to Hollywood, you've made movies and TV, you're so well known. My personal favorite was Quince.
Oh, Quince.
I like that. Big fan of Quince.
Quince,
back in the day. And you return to the Valley. I do. I see you out. I see you at events, and the energy that you're bringing to our community, helping so many, and now starting a Channel of Peace, your nonprofit. For that, we are just so grateful.
Well, thank you for giving me an opportunity, Lori, to talk about it. And I always like coming here to WDIY. These are the greatest people. This, by the way, if you're listening to this, you have to know that this is a crown jewel of the Lehigh Valley, this radio station. And without it, there's a lot of information our listeners would not get. So I'm always proud to come here.
Absolutely. Well, thanks. Thanks for that. I feel the same about DIY. So again, thanks for being with us. And listeners, we were just joined by Danny Roebuck, who was talking about his nonprofit organization, A Channel of Peace. And coming up after the break, please stay tuned for a conversation with Bach Choir Executive Director Lila Breitthop. Thanks for listening to A Closer Look. We'll be right back.
This is Noelle King, host of Morning Edition. Since 1995, the Lehigh Valley has turned to WDIY for thorough news coverage and thoughtful analysis from NPR. It's this news coverage that helps you understand the important issues of the day and stay connected to the people, places, and ideas that matter. Listener support is key to keeping WDIY and NPR on the air in the Lehigh Valley, which is why we're asking you to support WDIY's membership drive by making a contribution today. Give online at WDIY.org or by calling 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Every contribution helps, so thank you.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. Tonight, my guest is Lila Breithaupt, Executive Director of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. Good evening, Lila, and welcome to A Closer Look.
Hi, Laurie. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. We're delighted about it. And let's start with a little bit about Bach, certainly things that we know, but it's the oldest American Bach choir, and it started in 1898 right here in Bethlehem. Is that right?
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit more about the beginning of Bach. Why was it? Why was it started here in Bethlehem?
That's a really good question, and something that I learned only when I was interviewing for the position. Well, in 1898, our first artistic director, Fred Wally, formed a Bach choir in Bethlehem, and then he left for greener pastures in California. And Charles Schwab wanted to form a choir here in Bethlehem, and everyone told him, "Why don't you go back and get Fred Wally to come back?" So that's exactly what he did. Fred Wally came back, and in 1898, we formed the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. And we've been going strong almost 125 years since then.
Wonderful. And of course, Charles Schwab being the founder of Bethlehem Steel.
Exactly.
So I'm sure he was a very influential leader at the time.
He was. And he became president of the board of the Bach Choir. And he personally guaranteed that Bethlehem Steel would cover any shortfall that the Bach Choir had at the time. And that's how our guarantor program started.
So it's been 125 years.
Almost. We're in 125 24 years now.
Okay, great that the Bach Choir's, what a legacy that is.
Yes.
Tell us about the mission of the Bach Choir.
Well, the mission of the Bach Choir is to perform the works of Johann Sebastian Bach and to foster love and appreciation for the music, but also to foster a lifelong passion for the choral arts.
And how do you fulfill that mission, Lila?
We have a lot of community engagement and education, concerts and activities throughout the year. So we have Bach to school, we have Bach at noon, we have the family concert, Christmas concert, spring concerts, and of course we have our Bel Canto Youth Choir, which we're very happy joined us about 3 years ago.
You know, so many times we've heard about Bach Choir, and we know there's the Bach Festival in the spring, but what you spoke about are really year-round activities for people to attend, maybe first-time listeners, and for people to come annually to events.
Exactly. Well, the Bach Festival has been going on since 1898, and it started as just the B minor Mass, one weekend, once a year. And look at where we've come since then.
Absolutely. You know, when you talk about so many activities in four different ages, could you talk a little bit more about the collaboration that you have? Our community has such a spirit of collaboration with different nonprofits. Could you give some examples about how Bach Choir is involved with other nonprofits?
Yes, we have a rich collaboration with many nonprofits in the Lehigh Valley, including the Lehigh Valley Charter Arts School, the Mock Turtle Marionette Theater, Touchstone Theater, and Lehigh University, of course, DeSales University. One of our most recent partners is the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. We're doing a fabulous new program called Culture Conversations, which is for teens in the Lehigh Valley, leading up to our performance of Yo-Yo Ma and Catherine Stott on April 30th. And what that is doing is it's inviting teens from the Lehigh Valley to reflect, discuss, and talk about their experiences in the arts and what the arts mean to them, and then for a nonprofit arts organization to really understand how we can serve them better, because they're the future.
That's wonderful. Talking about having students at the center and providing them with all the resources they need to really appreciate art certainly goes back to your main mission.
Exactly.
And you talked about other nonprofit organizations. What have you found? You're new to the Valley. You've been here 7 months, not even a year. What have you found working with other arts organizations? What kind of energy, what kind of optimism, what kind of collaboration have you found?
The richness of the organizations here and the energy that people put into it is just, I've never seen anything like it before outside of Europe. The people are devoted to the arts and culture in the Lehigh Valley and to supporting it. People want to get involved, and I am just overwhelmed with the magnitude of the embracing welcome that I've received from everyone, from the arts, nonprofit arts sector to the business sector.
I think we don't realize what a treasure we have in the Lehigh Valley, right? With all of those arts organizations performing, I mean, just, and the universities, the colleges, so much rich music, art, everything.
Yeah, and people really want to work together. Mm-hmm. There's a very collaborative spirit here. And I think that it's a gem in the nation that is unlike any other.
So you moved here to become executive director of this organization. How has that been?
It has been a dream come true for me, really. I grew up in Poughkeepsie, New York, and for me coming back to the East Coast after 25 years of living in Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana, has been like a homecoming, but developing new relationships within the Lehigh Valley, including with you.
Mm-hmm. Is there a story that you could share with us about an experience that you've had that reminded you that you are exactly where you should be now?
Yes, it was the Christmas concert last year in 2021. At the end of the Christmas concert, Greg Fumfgeld invites all of the choir and the audience to participate in a sing-along of Christmas carols. And what's unique about this is that we sing in German also. So it's not just the regular Christmas carols, but we sing Silent Night, Stille Nacht, in German. And you can imagine how overwhelming it was for my German husband and me to sit there and be surrounded by the most amazing Stille Nacht performance that we've ever had.
What a great example and a great story. Thank you for sharing that. I guess you knew at that moment I should be here.
I knew I was in the right place. Mm-hmm. It just brought together being married to a German professor. It brought together the history, the arts, the everything that matters to me.
With everything that you've done in the past, Leela, how did your career bring you here?
You know, I wouldn't have left Bloomington for any other position. I think this was really meant to be in many ways. I grew up as a classical musician, and I was a performing classical flutist in the U.S. and Europe and Asia, touring for about 20 years. And then I became interested in nonprofit arts management. And I ran a nonprofit arts ensemble called Indie Baroque Music, Inc. in Indianapolis. After that, I got my MBA, and I got into business development for a CRM company in higher education. But I also taught leadership and organizational behavior at the Kelly Business School at Indiana University. So all these things were kind of looking, it's like a kaleidoscope, looking at leadership and how you can make a difference in the world from many different points of view.
And following up on that, how can the Bach Choir, under your leadership now, really make a difference in Bethlehem and across the country?
We have a really good vantage point to do that because we're so connected with Germany, with Leipzig, and the people who are over there. But we have a national reputation, so we are able to increase our audience and our reach and our impact, especially throughout COVID, virtually, and we are planning to continue to do that. I mean, during COVID, we, for the first time, did virtual performances, 49 Moments of Comfort that aired weekly. Greg Fumfgeld, our artistic director, talked about the music, what it means to people, and he played, and he had different guests. It was all virtual. People, the outpouring of support for that was just impossible to describe.
And we needed it then.
We needed it then, we need it now, and it's continuing. So we actually increased our audience base. We doubled our audience base during COVID.
And now, since they heard Bach Choir in their home, now they're ready that the world is opening back up. I'm guessing now they're excited to be there in person.
They are. And we have new people who've never been to Bach Choir performances that are coming from the local area, but around the country as well. And that's fun because our Bach Festival is like a homecoming for many people who come here and meet their relatives. And people come with their grandparents, and they've been coming for years and generations. So to bring new people into the fold is very exciting.
Tell us a little bit more about the Bach Choir itself. How many singers are there?
So right now we have about 90 singers. It's an all-volunteer choir. Many people don't realize that.
Right.
So people come from all over the Lehigh Valley, and they come from a variety of backgrounds, of business and professions. And they come because they love to sing together.
Is there an age requirement? Are high school students able to sing?
We have a choral scholars program for high school students. It's audition-based, and it's a wonderful opportunity to have a mentor with a Bach Choir member, and it's kind of a gateway to becoming a part of the Bach Choir.
And what about Bel Canto? You mentioned that earlier. Could you talk a little bit about that organization? I know you came together a few years ago, but share with our listeners a little about that.
Yeah, Bel Canto Youth Choir is an amazing organization led by artistic director Joy Hirakawa. And what she does with the kids is just spectacular. She brings social justice in. She brings diversity, equity, inclusion in. She gives the kids a way to channel their emotions through the music that they're learning and to give them a way to be heard, feel seen, and to connect to others.
Wonderful. You know, with so much art in the Valley, we spoke about that earlier, and Bach playing a very, very unique role, how can our community get more involved with Bach?
That's a great question. So we invite volunteers to be ushers. There are many ways. If you like to sing, you can audition to sing in the choir. You can also join our board if you're interested in board service. If you want to come and just be part of the audience, we have concerts throughout the year, like I said. Our next concert coming up is Greg Fumfgeld's final Bethlehem Bach at Noon on April 12th, coming up next month. And then we, of course, have our festival coming up May 13th and 14th and the 20th and 21st. And that includes a live-streamed mass on May 21st. So there's incredible opportunities to join in. And of course, we love welcoming people into the fold of guarantors.
Do you use any interns or college students? Are they involved in any way with Bach?
We do. We have typically a college student intern in the summer. And this year we had an intern come for her Christmas break, a fantastic young woman who's in school in Susquehanna University.
You know, we've found that with so many of our nonprofits, that the internship, the experiential opportunities for young people is plentiful. And I just think that that matters so much, because they might say, I didn't know I could work in the arts. I didn't know I could use my experience and have a job here and make this a career.
Yes. And she's a journalism major, so she brings wonderful tools and experience to us as well. And look, music connects us. And I think it spans generations. It spans, you know, education. It spans socioeconomic. And we feel very fortunate to have so many people as part of the Bach Choir family. And we're looking to invite more into our fold.
Leela, thank you. Again, it's been 7 months since you've lived here in the Valley. I know I've gotten to know you, which is wonderful. But I know the community's excited about continuing to support Bach and to doing whatever we can to support you as its new leader. Anything else we should know before we close our time together?
If you want to learn more, you can go to bach.org. Best URL ever.
Yes, it is. Easy to remember.
Yes, it is. So if you want to learn more, go to bach.org, and we look forward to welcoming you to any upcoming performances.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Again, thank you so much to Leela Breithaupt of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. Thanks for joining us on this episode of A Closer Look.
Thank you so much, Laurie.
Thank you, listeners, for making time to join us and learn more about nonprofits in our community. Remember, you can find past episodes of A Closer Look and other public affairs programming at wdiy.org and on all major podcast platforms. I'm Laurie Hackett, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. Tune in next Monday for more WDIY public affairs programming, and we can't wait to see you next time on A Closer Look.